Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stupid Esau. He came in from working in the field and was famished. Jacob, meanwhile, had been making a stew, the smell of which wafted to Esau's nose before he entered into the tent. Quick, give me food before I die. A little overly dramatic. Sure, Esau, charms the weaselly Jacob. I will trade you some of my delicious red lentil stew in exchange merely for your birthright. All the inheritance and privileges rightfully yours by being the firstborn son by mere seconds. Fine, whatever. Take my birthright. Just give me some stew because I'm dying. What good is a birthright to me if I die from hunger? Stupid Esau. How could anyone be so foolish, right? Who would trade a birthright for mere stew? Sorry excuses. A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. Come, everything is now ready. But all those invited declined. One had just purchased a field, and the only time for inspecting his acquisition, apparently, was during the banquet. Another had just bought 5 yoke of oxen and needed right then to examine them. A third had just married and was too wrapped up in the honeymooning to be bothered with the banquet. Flimsy excuses at best, and an insult to the man throwing the banquet, to be sure. There is a time for everything. There is a time for working in the field and for inspecting oxen. There is a time for a marital retreat, and there is a time for the banquet. Come, for everything is now ready. Sorry excuses. Who would do that? Who would trade a rich banquet for such excuses? The excuses of those who miss the banquet today are equally flimsy and equally insulting to the master of the banquet. Yes, I should be in church, and I will be once things settle down a little bit. I have all these things that can only be done between 9:30 and 10:30 on Sunday mornings. All these projects. I work 6 days a week. I deserve one morning to sleep in. It's the people, Pastor. I can't stand to see such hypocrites who call themselves Christians and who live differently. I can worship God anywhere, anytime. I would come to church, but take your pick. The pastor's a jerk. The service is boring. The people are unfriendly. The drive is too far. The hour is too early. The excuses too plentiful. Sorry excuses. And they all amount to trading your divine birthright, the inheritance of eternal life given to you in the waters of holy baptism, for mere stew. Not blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God, but blessed is everyone who does eat bread in the kingdom of God. Jesus has come. The kingdom of God comes now, today, here. The bread of life is here for you today. How can you expect to enjoy the banquet at the day of the Lord's return if you do not enjoy the foretaste of that feast today? The banquet hall will be filled. Not one of God's elect will be missing. Those who are saved have only God to thank, and those who are lost have only themselves to blame. The foretaste of the banquet is today and every Lord's day. So why aren't there more here? Why didn't those invited come to the banquet? Weren't the servants winsome enough? Why couldn't they win the hearts of those invited? Why aren't the pews full? Why are there people in town who have no church home? Why are others languishing apart from God's pure gospel and sacraments? Why are there people on our membership lists who have made vows that only death will separate them from this confession of the faith and from receiving the gifts of God, who haven't received Jesus' body and blood with us in years? The fault was not with the master's servants. They proclaimed exactly as they were commanded. The problem was not with the banquet or with the master of the banquet. The feast was free and abundant. The master was gracious. It is not the winsomeness of the preachers or the style of the service that draws more people to the gospel. The love of God is such that it suffers itself to be rejected. And yet, the banquet hall will be filled. All of God's elect will be saved. All you have to do is to be where he does his electing, his choosing, through his word and his sacraments, his means of grace. But who has been unlike those with foolish excuses? Who isn't Esau? Who hasn't sat here wishing for the service to be over, watching the minutes tick by on your watch, thinking about lunch or the things that need to be accomplished this afternoon or this week, or even scheming to sin while the gifts of God are immediately before you? Never mind those with their foolish excuses, which they hope will deflect blame from themselves for rejecting God's gifts. Even among those who come to receive God's gifts, there is not one who is innocent of the foolishness of Esau or the self-centeredness of those who miss the banquet. Your mind wanders while the word is read and preached. Your thoughts are sinful, even in this most holy hour when God meets you at his altar and in his word. Your flesh is weak. You cannot control your thoughts as you ought. You cannot bridle your actions like you should. Your best efforts at righteousness are a far cry from what your Lord expects of you. Your flesh is broken, crippled, unable to do the works required. Your mind is lame, unable to keep from wandering for even the duration of one Lord's prayer. Your eyes are blind, unable to see the things of God purely without being distracted by someone you harbor a grudge against across the church, by a rambunctious child, by the glimpse of a little bit of skin. Your spirit is poor. And so the master sends the servants out into the streets to call the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. You, come, for everything is now ready. The master wants you at his royal banquet. Yes, you, undeserving you, come. Now you, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Your sin, your innate tendency to reject the Lord's gifts, made you far off, alienated from God. But the Lord didn't leave you far off. God came to you. The Creator came to dwell with his creation. From the Virgin's womb to Calvary's cross, the blood of Jesus flowed for you. His life was lived to reconcile you to God, and his death was the payment for your sinfulness. His blood has paid for your sin. For his sake, you have been invited to the banquet. For his sake, you have been compelled to come in. For his sake, you have been brought in. You are here. Come. Everything is now ready. The feast is here, even now. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world gives himself to you for the feast. Your poor spirit, your crippled flesh, your blind eyes, your lame mind here are made holy and whole. The host is also the feast. His body, which was crucified for you, is placed into your mouth. His blood, which was shed to cover your sins, is poured down your throat. The feast is free and it's frequent. It is the source of your life, both now and eternally. The church lives around the altar and from the altar. The price has been paid. The meal prepared, the table set. Come, for everything is now ready. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.